This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you heard it right from the experts, including one guy that was actually there. It was Nick Sciarra on the road again this weekend as he was in UFC. He was at UFC Austin. Barry watched it. I stay out of those kind of things because I'm smart, and I know that if I watched it and I was an aficionado, I would have an opinion. But since I don't, leave it to the guys that do. So there you have that.
Well, did you watch golf?
I did watch golf.
I watched the very end when he cried and thought, oh, why is he crying? He was just, because he said apparently he didn't think he'd ever win again.
He had been hurt. He didn't really tell a lot of people about it, Bubba Watson, because there were two Bubbas in the, in a rare oddity in sports this weekend. There were two Bubbas involved in some major sports with Bubba Watson and what he was able to do in the golf tournament. And then, and I mentioned, too, with Bubba Watson, he actually played in the celebrity game this weekend at Staples Center because he said, look, I'm still a human being. I still got to live my life. I got a once-in-a-lifetime chance to play on an NBA floor with all these celebs and ex-players. And yet he comes back and still wins the tournament.
That's crazy.
It was fantastic. And he said, look, you know, from where I'm from and where I grew up to be a PGA golfer, he goes, my goal was to try and get to 10 wins in my career. And that was his 10th win. And he had overcome. He said he and his wife had literally several times had sit-downs to talk about just walking away from the sport last year. And he won it. So, you know, great weekend for him all the way around. McGrady swatted his I almost said a bad word there. But swatted his shot into like the 10th row. And he was on the next day on the tournament. He was talking about it to anybody that would listen going, yeah, man, I mean, he came at me and I was like, that dude's big, bigger than he was on TV. And he got up and through my stuff, like he goes, I'm just trying not to get hurt, and he's now swatting it.
Did he score in the?
No, I don't think so.
No, he didn't get any.
He gave it an air ball on a three, and he gave it a good a couple of attempts.
Short or left or right?
It was just short.
Oh,
and for Bubba, well, who's the golfer. Longest? It's about the longest tee shots on the planet.
Did he? When he shot it, you know, remember we were a while back. We were making fun of guys you play with, where they talked about having a wet Jay. When he shot, did everyone yell, "Get in the hole"?
No, but
which would have been pretty awesome.
It would have been. And the funny thing was, the next day in the golf tournament, like he hit some bombs and he was posing and he was looking with his pink driver and everything like that. And then he hit one that he didn't get all of. And I forget exactly what he said. I'll try to remember. But he was like, just basically, he had some funny little one-liner about it ain't long, but it's going to be strong because it's in the fairway or something like that. But it was worse than that. But it was like, oh, he could even laugh when he mishits it.
Yeah.
But you pull for a guy like that because that was pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
And Bubba Wallace was the other Bubba in the news because Bubba Wallace, great story here. Rookie African-American NASCAR driver, had taken a lot of heat. ESPN did a big story on him that he was just hoping to try and be around as the race wound down yesterday at the Daytona 500, the Super Bowl of NASCAR. He ends up taking second and was highly emotional. Austin Dillon, who won the race with the number three car, which hadn't been used since Dale Sr., so those were some stories from around the globe other than what we had already been talking about.
I feel like there could be a game in here somewhere called Golfer or NASCAR Driver, because Austin Dillon sounds like a golfer.
He does.
And Bubba Wallace sounds like a golfer and a NASCAR driver combined. Just, and then you got Bubba Watson, who sounds like a NASCAR / golfer guy. I've always been fascinated by the names. There's a lot of Bubbas in racing.
You got Nick Sciarra, who has been the king of the pole position.
Wow.
When NASCARing. Juggalo Trey, by the way.
Was he tweeting NASCAR?
He tweeted.
Because I think I've muted him a long time ago.
I'm starting to get sense that there's a theme with Juggalo Trey.
Yes.
But he tweeted a lot of things that he had regrets about. So then he went back and deleted them and then had to tell everybody what he did, which just brought more attention to the faux pas by saying, I got to be better than that. I had to go back and delete a lot of tweets.
I saw one angry Facebook post about being car length behind and cutting somebody off.
Yeah, and
I thought, are you bitching about NASCAR or traffic on the drive home? It all sounded the same. It reads the same. Well, that guy cut that guy off, and it shouldn't have been. It almost caused him to wreck. And it just sounds Yeah, well,
it's a sport.
Is it a sport if it's what I do on my way home every day? Really? Is that a sport?
Now that we will see the handoff, the passing of the torch, as it's now going to be on you.
Do they have horns? They should have horns in NASCARs. Like, get out. By the way.
Until you hear. From Caddyshack.
Yeah. Speaking of that, man, I was at Sam's on Saturday shopping. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, I know Nick probably is this guy. I don't know if you are, but are you cut across the middle of the parking lot guy?
Oh, totally.
Well, if there's speed bumps. I hate the speed bumps.
Yeah, and I don't mind it. I'll do it on occasion, but I'm very courteous to be watching if there's other cars coming down the actual row.
Yep, I'm with you.
And if there are, I'll stop. Well, this a-hole.
Nick.
Just almost hits me. And so I stop because he, at the same time, and I'm in my wife's car. Which is it's a Rogue, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a Nissan Rogue. Love the car. Hate the horn. The horn on this thing.
Oh, it's got that Japanese horn. As compared to your Chevy horn, which is...
Oh, it might as well just be like... like, that's the horn.
Yeah, that's like how my horn so sounds.
It was Fergie doing the anthem.
So this dude, pretty much. Yeah. So this dude, he's an adult with a kid in the car, a young teenager. Just no regard, just cutting across all of the parking spots, and then it almost hits me. I slam on my brakes because I'm thinking he sees me, he's going to stop. He doesn't. So when I honk and I get this, I'm not going to do it.
No.
But it was a very sad honk, and he stops, and then he gave me the finger.
Oh.
And so I was like, well, do we want to get out and have a discussion? And then he like, yeah. And I was like, dude, you have a kid with you. But if you want to get your ass whooped in front of your kid, I mean, I guess we could do that too. So then I'm looking at him like, well, is he getting out? I'm not going to be the first one to get out. But and then he just sat there and he wouldn't get out of the way. I was so pissed.
Really? Did you lay on the Fergie horn again?
Well, no, that was the whole point. I was pissed, but I was really embarrassed too because the horn sounded so weak that I was just like, man, I don't know what to do.
It's not just you. I probably have the exact same horn on my car.
And then I'm like, well, now what do I do? Because I'm too old to be fighting anymore.
I was going
to
say, you're getting just straight gangster these days.
Plus, but I was I like, know well, you now, carry, but you're in your wife's car and other people
I
carry
wasn't
too.
Carrying. And I was like, you know, I just backed up. I was like, you know what? I'm going to be the more adult person and go around. And then when I started to go around, he started laughing. And I thought, now I just want to run into him with my car. But then I was like, damn, this is my wife's car. And I just drove off. I was like, somebody's got to be the bigger person here. And he's what kind of example is he setting for his kid? But you can't be tough with that horn. I was just like, damn it.
Yeah, they got to do something about it.
I wish I was in my truck.
Yep. That guy weighed in at like 169, so he was the bigger person.
I guess. Oh, God.
Well, that's right. You weren't dieting, so you were actually... No, you were the bigger person.
I would have had him, I think.
I'm putting my money on you.
Very frustrating. It's very, like... Because you just want to get out and just beat somebody's ass.
Man, I'm with you, though, because I'm driving in the car this weekend. We're family outing. I got Lisa and Taylor, and we're running some errands, and got cut off about... three times.
It doesn't.
And thankfully, I want just, my blood's boiling.
Yeah.
And then Lisa's in the back seat. Like I slammed on the brakes at one point, and she's looking at me like I was like not paying attention.
Does she get mad at you?
Oh yeah.
Like Nora's like, you're a maniac. I'm like, I'm not a maniac. These people are a-holes and they're selfish, and it pisses me off. And nothing hurts worse than being the better man. Nothing.
I could not agree more.
Because you feel like a coward because you're acting like an adult. Like, I'm like, I would rather get my ass whooped in this parking lot than to be the bigger person and just drive off.
Could not agree
but
more.
But you know you have to?
Yes.
Oh, it hurts your pride.
On the feeder
so
road,
bad.
The car comes off the feeder road with no room to get over at least one lane, going about 85.
Oof.
And then goes diagonal, misses my bumper by about 6 inches, misses the car, and then comes right back, goes the other way. I want to floor it so bad and get up on that guy.
Yeah.
And I know Lisa is like putting laser beams in the back of my head, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be the better man, and it's going to hurt me for a long time.
I know. I'm here lamenting about it now.
Yeah, you pegged it.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you.
Oh, it sucks.
Tell you what, if you want a car that looks sporty and dynamic and has that the own individual touch to it that cannot be found anywhere else, I'll tell you where you need to go. You don't need to go to American Wheel and Tire. American Wheel and Tire is more than just a tire and wheel store, although you can get some pretty sweet rims and tires. But they do so much more for your vehicle, whether it's your car, your SUV, or your truck. They have everything for your vehicle to give it that one-of-a-kind look and appearance that you are going to be proud of every single day when you roll out your driveway. It is fantastic. Mike and Tammy Gust have a great-looking shop. It is clean. The waiting room is comfortable. You have a big bay window where you can watch your vehicle being worked on. And let's start with the wheels and tires. If they're damaged, a lot of times they can be repaired before you have to replace them. Saves you a bunch of dough. Even if they are stock rims and tires, they have them in their warehouse. They can take care of it right there and save you a bunch of money. But if you want those custom rims and tires, they have so many to choose from, and they will talk to you throughout the process no matter what they do to your vehicle. So there's communication. So you don't get a bill at the end and go, what the hell is this? I didn't ask for this, and I don't want to pay for that. That's the way the big name stores do it. When you have got a Houston-owned and operated store like American Wheel and Tire, they're always going to communicate first. They're not going to charge you for anything you don't need. They're going to take care of you throughout the entire process. 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop. Or you can go to AmericanWheelandTire.com, where you can see their lift kits, their Kevlar coating, their steps, their bumpers, their lights, and all the things for your off-road accessories, for your SUV or your truck. They've been family-owned and operated for over 30 years. Mike and Tammy Gust have taken the shop over for the last 15. And I'm telling you, they're Houstonians just like you. They want you to come back again and again. American Wheel and Tire, 290 and 34th Street, and AmericanWheelandTire.com. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back knee-deep in the final hour of the big show. We're going to take you till 4. I don't think anybody listening knows anything when we're talking about the big show.
This is a really big show, really big show.
Here's a new group from England.
The Beatles.
The Beatles.
That's
Ed Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan, that's right.
We'll take you till 4. Fred, AJ, John, the Blitz, they'll take you home till 7. I did want to kind of circle back. We talked about the All-Star game itself, but I'm done with all of All-Star Weekend. I thought the game, the final 5 minutes, saved it, but I thought the rest of it, the contest and stuff, just dry. The fact that they took Kenny Charles and Ernie and Shaq off of doing all of the Saturday night stuff. Look, I love Brent Berry. I love the guys that were trying to do it. Dry. They tried to speed it all up and jam it into like less time. Boring.
Yeah.
Dunk contest. Look, Donovan Mitchell, fantastic, but overall just meh.
I thought it was cool that Larry Nance Jr. did his dad's dunk. I thought that was cool, but other than that, I'm kind of like,
Donovan Mitchell did Daryl Griffith with the old Utah, the Dr. Dunkenstein. Then he did Vince Carter, but proved how gifted Vince Carter was because he couldn't quite get up like Vince did.
Right.
But when you start regurgitating what other guys did again, too.
Well, there's only so many dunks, right? I mean, there's, what are you going to do?
Well, so like in the first dunk, when Donovan Mitchell brought out the second backboard, you're thinking, well, that could be really, how the heck, what's he going to, you know, because he's going to dunk on both hoops. What's he gonna, and he just used it to ricochet the alley-oop off the one backboard so he catch it and dunk
see,
on the other.
See, I didn't even watch it. I didn't watch. This is the first year, actually, in a long time that I didn't watch the dunk contest. Because I'll usually sit down and watch that. I don't care about the skills challenge, even though Pat Beverly is the most skilled NBA player, or was for a year.
So he couldn't.
Yeah, but I this is I like usually
the, this
will
is
watch
like
some
the Pro Bowl bowling tournament or dodgeball. Yeah. This is like they're trying to reinvent the wheel for the 86th time, and it may be just time to move on from the wheel because the 3-point shootout now there was a you get to set a whole rack of bonus balls. So the score they're like you know, Devin Booker with the all-time high, but there is a caveat. This is only the first time in the last 5 years where we've extended it to use the 5 Super Bowls or whatever they called. So that's out. Then the skills challenge becomes a bracket of big men and a bracket of guards. And at the end, one big man faces one guard. Gee, I wonder who's going to win that.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, yawner. And then the dunk contest. I just, I don't know if you, you know, then Reggie Miller and Chris Webber and everybody are throwing out their suggestions for how to jazz it up.
Well, yeah, but why not do something like horse or pig, and where, okay, you've got guys that are going to do trick shots. Because, you know, Steph Curry, he sits there and shoots half-court shots.
From the tunnel.
All right, so do that, man. These guys are doing all these tricks and stuff. You know, maybe have a skills competition where they're pregame warm-up like Steph does with the dribbling and everything. And I don't know. There's got to be some ways to make it more fun. I think that it surprises me to say this, that the NFL's on the right track with, you know, they have the drone drop and they have dodgeball. There's a lot of things you could do like that.
No question about it. But it's become that time. You know?
Yes.
And now let me think about all this. The environment saved the day a lot because you're in L.A., you're close to Hollywood, you got the movie stars, you got the actors, you got everybody wants to be there because it's L.A. Next year,
yeah.
Charlotte.
Great.
Enjoy that.
Yeah. Because
Michael's birthday better save the day and whatever he does as the host. Because other than that, I don't know what the hell they're going to do to get people to want to hang out and do things in Charlotte.
Oh, man.
Unless you're a NASCAR fan.
Yeah, that's true. Patrick Randall said maybe American Wheel and Tire can put on an aftermarket horn on your wife's car, Barry. Probably. That would help. And Moni Fly said the same thing about trailer, wheel, and frame.
Yeah, they love us.
There's a lot. There's a lot of ideas out there about jazzing up the horn a little bit. Something needs
listeners
to be
on the same page, coming up with great ideas.
Yeah, Eric Resendez says he put one of those train horns, which I've seen. Have you seen those trucks that have a train horn?
Yep.
Those will scare the bejesus out of you.
No doubt.
Incredibly
about
loud.
It.
Really, really loud.
Yeah. And they'll honk at you for no reason on the road, and you're just like, you poop a little. Just a little.
You frap or you shart?
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had one do that. NASCAR Johnny said he would kill golfer or NASCAR. The golfer name or NASCAR name?
Yeah,
I think he would. But show.
No doubt about it, man. Hey, and the other, by the way, from now on, mm-hmm. any good calls, texts, or tweets, they're just in Zane.
Zane's catching a lot of heat.
I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
He's catching a lot of heat from a lot of folks on the text lines and on Twitter. So,
and there is others that we have come across, but you're not even worthy of a mention. So, get your bitches. All right, we got a half hour to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Wanted to cover a little bit more ground on some round ball because that was quite the disaster All-Star weekend. The game did salvage a little bit. But one of the good things, in case you missed it, that I just told Nick I recommend you have to check out is the Players Only show they aired on TNT, which was Kobe, Shaq, and they aired it out. And when I mean they aired it out, they were honest and said when they hated each other. When Shaq left the Lakers and went to Miami and won it all, Kobe said how pissed off he was. And then to follow it up, when Kobe knew that he had gotten his fifth and Shaq was done playing and there was no way he could catch him anymore, he's like, I know you were pissed, weren't you? And Shaq could have said no, could have said, laughed it off. No, he went, yeah, you know how bad? I tore my entire house up.
Wow.
I went nuts. So there was a lot of really candid stuff, and that's the kind of stuff I love. That makes for great television.
And it's always cool when it comes out. When it comes out, you know, 10, 15, 20 years later, it's a little bit easier to talk about. You know, when something is still fresh, you're not as open to discuss things, but 20 years later, similar to the Charles Barkley situation when he admitted that he got drunk and he couldn't play when he found out that he wasn't going to get traded. But it's funny because we were playing the audio. We like to play a lot of Shaq and Barkley's and TNT's audio because it's great.
Right.
And we were playing the audio about, you know, and Barkley was like, stop lying, dude. Don't coin this as a misunderstanding. A misunderstanding wouldn't force you to trash your several million-dollar home. So, I mean, it's cool they're able to bury the hatchet. It's always good to see that they can kind of get through things. But there's no question they absolutely hated each other for quite some time.
And Kobe was honest, and I'll give you another one that was a good one, because Kobe, as we all know, was a workoutaholic. And right. he was nonstop. If it took working out all day and all night in the offseason or whenever it was, he would do it. Shaq flat out said, "We won the first one, got that monkey off my back, and I knew I had you. I went home and didn't touch a basketball the entire summer. I ate my ass off.
Wow.
I drank. I sat in the swimming pool. And I didn't have to do a damn thing." And Kobe goes, "And it pissed me off like you would not believe."
Yeah, because he felt like he had to do all the work. And Shaq didn't have to, because he was the big diesel getting most of his points in the post anyway.
And he admitted that. He's like, "But why do I have to work any harder? It doesn't take a whole lot of working out to be able to know that I can dunk, I can rebound, and I can knock the hell out of people to get them out of my way."
That's a very dangerous mentality as an NBA player. However, Shaq was more fortunate to kind of get away, you know, to get those rings. You know, I think Charles Barkley perhaps had a similar mentality at times, where he felt like he didn't have to work as hard because he knew he just had such a great natural ability to score and do well on the floor. Unfortunately for Barkley, it finished his career without a championship ring. But with Shaq, at least he got a couple. And the fact that, actually more than a couple.
Four.
Yeah. But how many, I mean, that just shows how competitive you are when you've got four rings and you're still upset with your teammate. You know what I mean? Because he's got one more, or it's because he did get a championship without you. And I'll be honest, I wasn't a huge Lakers fan, but I wouldn't have mind seeing Shaq and Kobe a couple more years. There's no question that could have been a much, much longer dynasty. So
they admitted it too. They said, "Look, they won 3 and 4 years, but they were both the red assed about the fact that that fourth one got away from them simply because their locker room was a mess and they lost to the Pistons." But yeah, I mean, and they were also very candid in saying, "Look, we know that the combination of size, strength, and then the ability of Kobe Bryant may never come again in a duo," and they're pissed off because they screwed it up.
I can't get over when I see them or I hear Kobe and Shaq and Kobe. The only thing I can think of, the only thing that ever comes to my mind.
How's your ass taste?
That's it.
Let me just tell you this. It
championships
was covered.
Be Nick, damned.
It was covered. So you got to see the Shaq-Kobe special that debuted Saturday, because he even covered, and Kobe even was talking about the first time he heard, "Kobe, how my ass
taste." Kobe, how my ass taste.
Yeah. So that was a cool thing. And then the other thing that came out great from All-Star Weekend was this legitimately players only. ESPN and their staff was able to just question players in the NBA about some key topics coming up in the offseason, and then they gave you percentages. So, for instance, where would LeBron sign this offseason? 59% say the Cavaliers, 22% say the Lakers, the Heat with 7%. And then the other teams that could possibly be in the mix, 12%, including Rockets, Grizzlies, Sixers. So
I'm surprised the Heat would have gotten 7%.
To go back again, yeah.
Yeah, I would have thought maybe something else. I mean, you've got the Cavs, the Lakers. I would have thought maybe the Rockets would have been in the top three.
Although we highlighted how it's going to be really, really tough. But one Eastern Conference forward said LeBron's not leaving after all the moves they made last week. So then it said if he would leave, where should he sign? Or if he has his choice, where should he sign? Cavaliers, 66%. Heat, again, at 8% with the Lakers. Other teams, 18%. And one Eastern Conference forward playing in the league said, "Honestly, I'm hoping he stays in Cleveland just for that city, but I would definitely understand if he left because it's a business. You see how they did Blake Griffin in L.A.?
Yep.
So, you know, if you get to, they can trade him away, it is a great point. So there was a lot of good stuff in this, and it's, again, it's on ESPN, but you know, a lot of it was LeBron-centric, but they got to other things.
Yeah, why did they do so much LeBron when it was supposed to be?
Because it's
going to
be such a hot topic with him being a free agent. You know, who would you pair him with? You know, where should he go? And then, of course, there was where he shouldn't go, and that was Sixers 31%, Warriors 28%, Lakers and Rockets 16%, and the Western Conference center that they talked to about said LeBron's a competitor. He's the type of guy who comes in and lays his hat on the line every night. If he went to Golden State, that would cut his competitive edge out. It would take something away from the type of player that he really is. Don't want to see that.
You think that's the case, though?
I don't.
Do you think that there's guys like LeBron, I don't think, ever lose their competitive edge. He's the one that was talking about, hey, we need to take the All-Star game serious. We need to be playing defense. We need to do this right. We can't have another thing like last year. We've got to, and I believe that. I mean, when you, other than the bounce pass thing, but when you watch, didn't he at one point knock Embiid down going for a rebound?
That late in the game, it was LeBron's show.
Early in the game, he was going for a rebound and knocked Joel Embiid down. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, you don't usually see that because there's not that kind of hustle where you're going to fight another guy for the rebound. It's in the NBA All-Star game, it's closest man to the ball goes up and gets the rebound. That way nobody gets hurt. So at least he was hustling a little bit.
The one thing that I wouldn't like if he joined one of those teams is because you've like put super teams on steroids. You know, if you put Kevin Durant and LeBron next to each other,
because it's a big
two-time
four
MVP
already
with Curry, and you still have Draymond Green, and even if Klay Thompson goes away, it's just too much. And you know what? It's bad for the league because now most of the regular season doesn't matter. And those key matchups you're hoping for was always the Cavs against somebody. Now it's not there.
I wonder. So you have a 12 player bench, right? I mean, 12 players including your starting five.
15.
Is it 15?
15 on the 15 total roster.
You think at some point some of these teams trying to catch up with the four, because it used to be the a three team, right, or a three star team, right, the big three.
Mm-hmm.
And now Golden State's at a big four, and people are like, well, damn, how do we do that and make it work? Any chance that people start eliminating a position at the end of the bench to save that money for a big four?
It's a lot of money to save. I mean, and the guy in the end of
the bench.
Well,
I'm just saying, could you see a team going with 12 guys on a bench and not 15, or going down to 11 or 10?
I think that's possible.
And saying, you know what, we'll take our chances, and if one of these guys gets hurt, we'll pull up a G League guy. But if we want to compete with the Warriors, maybe we just go in shorthanded, go with less guys and spend more money.
There's a lot of creativity being kicked around in the war rooms of the general managers these days.
You're going to have to do something.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting because, again, I think we saw just a quick 2-year blink of an eye window where the salaries just exploded, and now you've got to realistically come back down. And if you didn't add and got that super team created in those last 2 years, the money's not going to be the same. The owners are still trying to make money. The salaries got out of whack again, and you're not going to be able to add because those guys that are going to be free agents, they're going to still want the Supermax money like a DeMarcus Cousins. And you got to be able to make that commitment long term, or he ain't coming. Otherwise, he's staying. So they asked about DeMarcus Cousins. The player said 80% he re-signs in New Orleans. They asked about OKC's opening night lineup next year, and will it include Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony? Anthony's under contract. That was 45%. Will it include all three of them with Westbrook, Anthony, and Paul George? 24%. Just Westbrook, 22%. Westbrook and George, 9%.
Wow.
They're thinking George spends one more year in OKC, then goes to LA for the most part. And which team, and I'm sorry, Tad Brown, and your compelling marketing approach, and Daryl Morey and your free iPads, which team has the best marketing free agent pitches? I said pitches in the NBA.
Stitches.
Who would you guess?
The most compelling?
The best presentation and the best pitches for a free agent who you want to have a meeting with.
I would start with LA.
Third at 12%.
Okay.
First, Danny Ainge and the Celtics, including one player that said, if you can get Tom Brady to come to a meeting for me.
Oh, there you go.
That's pretty damn cool.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So the Tad Daryl draw ain't Tom Brady. Miami second.
Dallas on the list? Because I feel like Cuban would roll out the red carpet and do some crazy things.
So the Celtics 27%, Heat 15%, Lakers 12%, Warriors 9%, and other 37%, and the others that gained votes, Clippers, Grizzlies, Hornets, Knicks, Pacers, Spurs, Wizards, Mavericks, and there was a Rockets mention.
Okay. All right.
So the iPad has value.
There you go.
All right. So that covers a little bit more around the ball as we still have one segment to go in the big show.
Yeah, Zane.
Yeah, don't go anywhere as we continue to keep it sportsy, Houston. We'll be back with one final segment. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
We ready? From the first down to the first bite, ESPN 97.5 and Saltgrass Steakhouse present the official ESPN Houston app.
Now this is top notch.
Download today. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jung, and the Blitz for a Monday. Been a good show, fellas. We covered a lot. Ran the gamut. Word. Even got some NASCAR and golf in there, which is kind of a rarity for us, including some Olympic highlights, too. I know you'll be glued to your television because now the NBA does not have another game. I think Thursday night there might be a couple, and then Friday full-blown again.
The Rockets are not playing until Friday, right?
Rockets don't play until Friday against Minnesota.
Man, that's a long time.
But again, from a league perspective, for as much as they're paying attention to the players saying they needed more time to rest and you know no, less back-to-backs and things, if you play in the All-Star game and you think about this, you don't have a chance to, like the rest of the guys that don't make the All-Star team, they're praying not to make it in a lot of ways because they can go to Cancun, they can chill out on the beach, they can get some rest. But if you make it in the past, they would start again on either Tuesday or Wednesday. You would have no chance to do that. Now, the guys that make the game can still have a couple down days before they got to get back at it. And if you're Jimmy Butler, you just get loaded and you just take the weekend off anyway. Because the rumor is out there, he didn't play last night. And people were starting to realize, because look, there's money on the line, players care, fans are going, why isn't, you know, even Minnesota fans, of course, are going, he was supposed to start, where's my guy? He said, no, Minnesota and our season means a lot to me, I just need to rest. But then someone on Instagram found a video of him popping shots in a bar or a party at like 3 a.m., and then they since deleted it. And then Lou Williams, who was snuffed off the All-Star team, who really wanted to be on it, and it was in his home city of L.A., or his team's home city of L.A., and he could have used the extra money, was like, really, bro? Seriously? And he tagged
him. Dang.
So, yeah, it depends on who you believe. But if you do make it, it's, and again, the money's a big deal because, boy, they put the pedal down for that final 5 minutes when it was a difference of, what, $75,000.
You think, though? You think that's what it was?
I really do. And a lot of the guys made mention of it.
Did they?
Yeah.
Because I just feel like if you've got that much money, that probably doesn't mean much. But I guess so. I mean, that's probably one night at the script club.
Well, some guys would buy a car.
Really?
You know, they'd be like, man, this is money I wouldn't have had, but now I'm going to go out and get, you know?
Yeah.
I've been with guys in Vegas where they won big and didn't expect it. And at least one of my friends at least had the polite thought of calling his wife first, but went, I just want enough that I want to go to the Caesars Mall and buy an Alfa Romeo or a sports car.
Damn.
And she was basically like, so how much did you lose? And he's like, no, I'd never lost. And I ended up this much ahead. She's like, okay.
Wow.
So,
my wife would be like, hell,
it's like
no.
Lost money. It's like you doing, what's that website that we did?
Huh?
You owe me BillMyTexas.com, whatever
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The found money thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like found money. I mean, if you came in there and got a whole lot more leaving than you
except
had going
my
in.
$100. Yeah. I could maybe go buy a Matchbox Alfa Romero.
We go to Chewy's.
Yeah,
exactly. They go buy a sports car.
Yeah. Can you tell me, I was looking at our rundown, and I tried to pull up the link. What did J.J. Redick do?
Ooh.
What
sticky situation there? So, we all know that we just recently celebrated another Chinese New Year. Yeah. So, a company came in conjunction with the NBA and wanted to get the players to basically say Happy New Year and say some things. And in the process, they went to Redick. And the video got out where, if you believe what he says that the script that he initially read didn't sound right to him because it initially said that they wanted him to say, NBA fans in China, I want to wish you a happy Chinese New Year to everyone celebrating. And he didn't like the way it kind of, the flow of it. So he decided to change it up. He said, NBA Chinese fans is the way they had it worded. It sounded weird in my mind, so I said NBA fans in China. All fine and good until the finished product, in which it came out, and the audio sounded like he used a word that rhymes with dink.
Oh,
and
no.
It was a firestorm. And he was like trying to defend himself on Twitter, going out saying he would never use the word. He's like,
but
you can ask everybody. And he said everybody in the room that was in there, including the Sixers PR staff, never heard any word that sounded like that. Well, they can't make that stuff up. It's not like you can start pushing little audio clips together.
Right.
And when you watch, it's a video. When you watch him saying it, it's like, you might have tried to hit the brakes, but I don't think you hit them in time.
Oh, no.
So it got to the point now where it's gotten so messy that he had to contact Jeremy Lin. They had a long conversation. Jeremy Lin came to his defense today on Twitter. And what? It's like the story won't end.
So he basically, hey, guys, some of my best friends are Asian. Like Jeremy Lin. He knows I would never use that word. Tell him, Jeremy. That's even worse. Just be like, hey, I got, you know, I screwed up. I got tongue-tied. I was thinking don't say that word because it's inappropriate and I said it and I didn't mean to say it. I don't know how you get out of that, though.
Because he said, had I known it sounded anything like it sounded when the video was released, I would have been mortified, recorded the greeting over again, and deleted it. That's not a word in my vocabulary, but I understand how it sounded on the video. It's not who I am as a person. Well,
I mean, I haven't heard it, but it's got to be pretty cut and dry whether you said it or you didn't.
If you hear it, it's hard to mistake it for anything else.
Man, I gotta check that out.
It'd be tough to get it at this point.
And well, yeah, and I don't know that we want to be playing that on the air anyways.
Because, yeah, you would be able to hear it, but Nick would have to beep it out for the general public listening. Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up, man. That's what scares me about having a mic in my face every day is you just never know when you say something like you're thinking.
You can't get complacent.
Yeah,
not too complacent.
You can't just start just saying whatever. I mean, I censor myself every day. I have to really focus on the words that are coming out of my face.
Yeah, and you have to remember because we're working with each other every day, so we're starting to get more and more comfortable. So it's the situation where anything you can't just say what you think all the time.
Nope,
can't do it.
Nope, and even because a lot of times when we're doing our show prep, we're just hanging out and talking and cutting up and. You know, I'd like to think that we're all decent people and we don't say those types of things, but we do bust on people and we do, you know, we'll say some things jokingly that could be taken the wrong way. That's why you got to be careful.
Well, and it's like we even said with the locker room talk, you know, and obviously when you get it into an election, it takes on a different life of its own, but the locker room is never going to be PC.
Nope.
And it just like we were talking about, you know, when the guys are just kicking around being the guys, pretty much everything's on the table until it gets public, and then it's all off the table, and you wish it never happened. But that's just kind of, as you get, like you said, Nick, when we're all comfortable with one another and we're just kicking it before we have to really flip the switch and do it, we're having fun, we're saying things, we're ribbing each other, and we work with a comedian, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel comfortable more and more every day, and I always feel like, man, did I say something inappropriate? And I'm sure we've been told a few times not to say certain things, but yeah.
Yet I haven't had anyone yet come to me, which I'm really surprised about.
Me too. I thought for sure you'd be disciplined.
Don't go so fast now.
What?
We have been told.
No?
There are times that we end up spending a little bit more time in the friendly confines than others.
Maybe Jong is filtering it from us?
No. We were told because, like I said, we spend more time in the friendly confines of this studio than some of the other
guys. Got in trouble for something.
Yeah. We did get in trouble. No, but we found out that wasn't true at all. That was 1,000% not true.
Right.
So
but it doesn't matter. The end result is the one time we got
accused of saying something that was upsetting, we found out later that it wasn't true. And we'll leave it at that. But I'm surprised that I haven't been pulled into an office yet and said, you just can't say that. Because I would be like, well, but you can gain an inch on your penis if you lose 30 pounds. Why can't I say that? That's a fact.
See, it's a family show.
I don't know.
No, it's pretty much not.
No, it's not. You shouldn't definitely not have
we
your
try
kids.
To use, tell you earmuffs when you're in the parent pickup line, but other than that, it is what it is.
Yep. Don't let your kids listen. That's
this
the
show
bottom
has
line.
Been insane all day today. And
watch out now.
Therefore, we appreciate you guys being one of the usual suspects. We're going to do it again tomorrow and the rest of the week and every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. But for Barry, for Nick, I'm Joel. We're going to turn it over to Fred A.J. Jong in the Blitz. For the usual suspects, we'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.